Welcome to Signs of the Times. I'm Dr. Willard Register, and fortunately we still have Ed Reed with us. We've had two nice programs the past weeks, and today we're going to talk about an interesting subject. For the audience that doesn't know, Ed Reed has been in charge of the stewardship and telling people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church for years. How many years?
20 years.
For 20 years, how to handle their money, how to do with what they make, and how to make more than they could otherwise without the knowledge that he has, and how to live in a right relationship with God so he can bless you regarding your financial situation. And so I'm glad you're here again. And just for the audience that didn't listen to us in the previous weeks, here's a book that is still available. And it's available for under $10. It's your money, isn't it? That's the question. It's your money, isn't it? So it's still available if you want it. Call the studio here and we can tell you how to get it. So today, I want to talk about a subject. In fact, it was your suggestion to talk about a subject that I think some people don't even know what the word means. But I think probably more people know than I would generally think, the word about tithe. Tithe means that it's talked about in the Bible, I think always of Malachi chapter 3. God says, he's talking to the children of Israel, he says, you've been ripping me off. And they say, what are you talking about? How have we stolen from you? And so that he says, well, in tithes and in offerings. Mm-hmm. And then he says, but if you'll change your ways, I will bless you. In fact, I will pour you out a blessing that you won't even be able to receive all of it. So for this program, I want to talk about tithe. So do you want to give a definition of that word?
Well, it's kind of interesting that tithe goes way back to the Old Testament, only 14 chapters into the Bible. You have 14 chapter of Genesis in verse 20, where Abram gave a tithe to Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. When it's talked about over in the New Testament, it says that he gave a tenth in Hebrews, the 7th chapter. So tithe and tenth are used interchangeably in the Bible. And I've been teaching stewardship from the Washington, D.C. area for 20 years. But even 5 or 6 years before that, some 25 years I've been teaching. And I've never had anybody argue with me that tithe is not a tenth. It's just pretty well known to any Bible student that tithe and tenth are synonymous. So the big question is, what is the significance of tithe? What should we do with it? What does God do with it? And, you know, all kinds of questions can come up. People have unusual questions, but I'm going to tell you something interesting as we get into the tithe. You mentioned Malachi, the 3rd chapter, and I will grant you that is the most well-known tithe text in the Bible. The 10th verse of Malachi, bring the tithe to the storehouse and prove me in this, says the Lord, if I want to open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, you don't have room enough to receive it. And by the way, if you don't have room enough to receive it, what do you have? You have surplus and you can help others and help advance God's cause. And that's the intention of it all. A lot of people skip verse 11 where it says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
I don't skip that because I see rabbits out at my garden. So I expect the Lord to keep those rabbits away.
Well, he has to feed his rabbits too, and maybe that's one of the reasons why he sends them to your place. I'm just kidding.
I don't like that explanation. Yeah. I'm going to keep praying for the Lord.
Okay. Well, that's what he actually meant, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
I will rebuke that the animals and the locusts and the bugs and the heathen around won't come and ransack your place. You know, I promise that I'll be with you.
Okay.
But the real two basic tithe texts in the whole Bible are not in Malachi. By the way, Malachi is a revival and reformation text. And that is, God says in verse 6 of chapter 3, return to me and I'll return to you. So the people had left God. They were in a backslidden stage.
Right.
And then the people said, what do you mean return? Well, you've been robbing me in tithes and offerings. And then he said, if you return to me, then I'll bless you and you won't be able to count it all. But the real tithe legislation in the Bible is in Leviticus, when Moses is giving the laws that God gave him on Mount Sinai to the people. And he says in Leviticus 27:30, all the tithe of the land is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, to me, this is incredible when you think about it from that perspective. God allows me to handle something holy. To me, it's incredible how responsible I would be if I knew I was handling your money or the president's money. But I'm handling God's money. And, you know, he asked me to bring it to the storehouse. And that's what Malachi, the third chapter, is about.
Yeah.
But at any rate, let me just ask a question for the viewers. And it can be, you know, just a thought question. But since the tithe is holy and belongs to God, what could he do with the tithe?
Well, as a person that has it in my hand and a believer,
yeah,
I don't have any choice.
Right.
I give it back to him to use.
Well, yeah, I understand that, and I believe that's true. But what could God do with the tithe once he gets it,
right,
if he wanted to?
Anything he wants to.
Exactly the right answer. Anything he wanted to, because he is God. Right. He could take it to heaven if he wanted to,
absolutely,
couldn't he? Because it's his part. Sure. Now, this is really interesting, because God didn't choose to do that. He could also say, well, like the offerings, when you bring your lamb when you sin, and you slay him, and then he's burnt up. He could just say, when you take the offerings at church, well, you can keep the offerings for managing the church and so on, but the tithe, that's mine, and I want you to sacrifice it. So
burn
you put
it.
All the tithe out in a little cauldron, put some lighter fluid in on it, and strike a match and burn it up. Could God do that if he wanted to?
His right.
It's his right, exactly. What did God choose to do with his tithe is the real situation that people need to understand very clearly. And that is Numbers 18:21. God says, I have given the Levites, the tribe of Levi, all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in exchange for the work they do, the work of the tabernacle of ministry. So essentially God says, the tithe is mine. I could burn it up. I could take it back to heaven if I wanted to. But what I've decided to do is to pay the pastors.
Pay the pastors.
Isn't
exactly.
that incredible?
It is.
So when I tithe, I'm really returning to God. And then God says, I'll take care of the pastors. So the pastor doesn't stand up in front and say, listen, I'm about to make another car payment, or I'll lose it, or somebody's going to repossess my car, or I need to make my house payment, or I've got to send my kids through school, or whatever. We don't have to worry about the pastor's insurance, you know, his health care, anything, because God says, you be faithful with your tithe. I'll take care of him for you. Is that incredible?
I like it.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
And
so do the pastors.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, it's incredible, because we always think, well, we wish we could make more. But the bottom line is God has provided adequately for those who manage well.
Right.
I think that's the point of it all. So I'm going to share with you a couple of things that I think are important about tithing. And one of them is, I've spoken around the world and been translated in a number of languages and so on. But in English, you've heard the term honest tithe or a faithful tithe.
I have.
What is an honest tithe or faithful tithe? Well, the interesting part is I think it has three elements, constituent elements. All of them begin with the letter P in English, and that would be the portion, which we understand to be a tenth or 10%, and then the place that it's returned, which is the storehouse. Now, we need to talk a little bit about the storehouse in a few minutes. And then also the purpose of the tithe. And that's to support the ministry of the church. This is God's idea. We didn't create it. The Adventist church didn't come up with it. The Baptist church didn't come up with it. The Catholic church didn't decide what it was. The Bible tells us the tithe, God's tithe, is to be used to support the ministry. Pretty simple. By the way, we don't pave the parking lot or buy choir robes with the tithe. It is only and always for one purpose, and that is to pay the salaries of church workers. Isn't that incredible?
It is.
And to provide for them in their evangelistic needs and that kind of thing. Very, very interesting. So I'm going to tell you that I think God's plan is the best plan, and we shouldn't try to improve upon it. Now, here's a real interesting question. Why do you think God established the tithe in addition? I mean, do we have any benefits from it in addition to the Lord providing us a pastor?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with to develop our character.
Oh, excellent. I think that very same thing. And the real bottom line, this is a biblical concept. I know you're a Bible student, so I'm sure you've read this before, but it's Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is one of my favorite books in the Old Testament, because it's three sermons that Moses gave, his last three sermons to Israel. And he starts back with the Exodus and goes all the way to the present time and says, look at all the times God blessed you, how he led you out of Egypt, how he fed you manna in the wilderness, he brought water to you out of the rock, and on and on. He says, you remember that time when we were standing around the mountain when the fire came down and it was, you know, really awful and people were standing way back? You know, that's when he gave the laws. And he says, if you're faithful, God will bless you. This is Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses. You're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to lend to people and not borrow. All these incredible things that God said, because if you're faithful in obeying the laws of God. Well, anyway, in those sermons, in the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 23, God says, I've given you the tithe so you can learn to fear the Lord your God always. In other words, if you look up fear Psalms, for example, David says, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and so on. And then he also says the fear of the Lord is trusting in him. So the Lord gave us the tithe so we could learn to trust in him. So when every time I tithe, I say to the Lord, you know, I could use this myself, especially in these times we're living in.
Absolutely.
But I trust you to take care of me because you said you would. So I return the tithe. And you do that as well. I know that. Now, the amazing thing about it is this. We talked in one of our sessions recently about the tithe or money being the most prevalent topic in the Bible, more than sin and salvation, more than heaven and hell, and so on. 2,500 verses in the Bible that deal with money management and our attitude toward money. In fact, 2/3 of Jesus' parables deal with money. Now, this is a really, really amazing. For example, Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto treasure hidden in a field, which a man found it, and then he hides it. And for joy, he goes and sells everything he has to buy the field. And you see, that's a parable, the value of eternal life, right, more than any of our stuff. And that's one of the parables. 2/3 of Jesus' parables deal with money and possession. There's many more, the pearl of great price and so on. Well, the whole idea of all that I'm telling you about is when we tithe, we trust God. Now, many of us, I'm at the point of planning for retirement. So, you know, I'm paid off my house and paid off my cars, and I know how much I'm going to have coming in each month and so on. So I'm kind of taking care of myself. But listen, even people who plan wisely, think about this. A time is coming, and you mentioned this in one of our earlier programs. Revelation 13:17 says, the faithful people who avoid the mark of the beast and take God's seal before he comes will be tried by the devil to the point that they cannot buy or sell. Now, here's something amazing about that to me. The devil knows how hard, you know, how much we are dependent on our incomes and so on. So this last great temptation is over money. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is my personal feeling, and I believe I'm right about it, but you maybe can correct me if I'm not. If I haven't learned to trust God in relatively good times, when that big test comes, what will I do?
Well, you'll probably do what's convenient and go ahead and spend some money to get some bread.
Sure, there you go. You get the idea? In other words, I'll trust in myself. But if I have trusted God to the point that my faith has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, I can say, it really doesn't matter what you do to me. God will take care of me.
Exactly. You've got to come to that place.
Isn't that incredible?
And I urge the viewers to hear what Ed is saying right now. We've got to come to the place, regardless of what happens to us, that God is going to take care of us.
Yes, indeed.
We've got to do it.
Yeah.
So
God can do whatever he says he can do. And if he says, I can take care of you during this time. Oh, by the way, some people say, well, you know, I'd never ask a poor person to tithe. I've heard pastors say that. Well, you know, here's a single lady.
That's why there's
two children. Well, that's not always the case, but I can just tell you something interesting. When Kathy and I went to India several years ago, we went to Andhra Pradesh State. And the people, many of the village people there are very poor. They're subsistence living, hardly ever handle any cash. And they harvest and grow these red chilies and sell them, you know, and they have big piles of chilies and big trucks come along and pick them up and so on. And they said, some of the pastors said to me, this is really interesting now. We know you teach money management and tithing back in America, but please don't ask these poor people to tithe because they are just simply too poor to tithe. And what I told them is two Bible stories. Very, very interesting. Pastors told me this. I said, in the Bible, there was a person, a widow lady, who had a son, and she encountered the prophet Elijah. And he said, please make me some food and bring me a drink. You remember, he asked her first for a drink, and then would you make me a cake of bread?
And do it first.
And do it before you feed yourself. She says, I'm gathering some sticks here. I'm going to go in and make a little fire. I'm going to cook my last flour and my last oil. And after we eat this, we know no prospects for any food. It will likely be we will starve to death. Put me first, and God will bless you. And he did. Now, this is an incredible thing. Put the man of God first, and God will bless you.
So how about India?
Now, this is incredible. So what I told the people in India is I don't believe that God wants people in poverty and ignorance all their lives. And we can either say, here's God's plan, or you do it your way. Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
You don't have to bring cash to church. Many places around the world, people bring their tithe in kind, like little red chilies or watermelons or bananas or whatever. And then the deacons will sell that at the market and put the tithe into the treasury. You can see. Now, it's amazing. And a lot of people say, you can ask the people who bring these in kind things, what if it goes wrong, bad before it gets to the marketplace?
Not your problem.
Not my problem. I did what God asked me to do. Isn't that incredible?
Exactly.
And it's really, really true. So I'm going to tell people, there's lots of people out there that will give you weird reasons why you shouldn't tithe. One of the weirdest ones I've ever heard is just recently, a person said, well, I've just talked to a man who's been a Jew in the Jewish faith for many years, and he says, well, we don't tithe anymore. This is this person, individual. I don't know if the Jewish people don't at all, but that's what he said. Because the tribe of Levi is lost now. We don't know where there's any Levites. And so the Bible talked about tithing to the Levites, as I just quoted to you. So, you know, instead of using the principle, those who are doing the work of God, as Paul would say in the New Testament, they'll say, well, you know, there's no more any Levites, and so we don't tithe. But here's the story. When you look at the Bible does have, as a central focus in the Old Testament, the people of God that he called out of Egypt, as you remember, the descendants of Jacob. But the bottom line is, the first time tithing is mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 14, was before there was ever a Levite.
Right.
Unto Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. And the last time tithing is mentioned is over in Hebrews 7, the first 10 verses, where tithing is mentioned many times. And it talks about Christ being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and our tithes are unto Christ. And he was not a member of the tribe of Levi, he was a member of the tribe of Judah. So the whole point is, before and after Israel, still tithing is faithful.
One of my favorite authors says that tithing goes back to the Garden of Eden.
Oh, sure. No question.
Yeah. But back to this, to India, do you have any follow-up stories to these people say, hey, I started giving those pickles or whatever they were.
Chilies, little red chilies. Yeah.
And now I have twice as many as I ever had before. Have you got any stories?
Anecdotally, the response is the church is growing and they're building churches everywhere. So God is blessing the people. That's for sure. And another thing is that people are being sponsored and helped to go to school and get education, their children, you know, that kind of thing. And there's wonderful schools going on over there now. It's amazing, really, what's happening.
You know, we're in Grants Pass, of course, most of the viewers know that. But living in Medford is Bruce Farley.
Yes.
Have you heard the Farleys?
Oh, yes.
Well, he and his father are ones that are building those schools along with Garwin McNeilis.
Yes, they've been there many times, and I think God is blessing them. And they would say themselves, what if we hadn't gotten involved in this? Where would we be today?
Exactly.
You know, this is amazing, I think.
It is. It's an amazing story.
Tremendous family.
Okay, anything else about tithe?
Yeah, I would say another thing is kind of interesting, and that is people say, well, you know, where's the storehouse? And they'll wonder, well, you know, isn't the storehouse? I've heard people who want to keep the money for a local mission program or whatever.
Exactly.
Isn't the storehouse any place where they're doing work for God? Or isn't the storehouse my local church? Well, if you look in the Bible, it is very clear that the storehouse, this is interesting now, was always and only where the temple was. Now, this is interesting because three times each year, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, every male in Israel had to appear before the Lord. And the Lord said in that context, do not appear before the Lord empty-handed. That's in the Bible three or four times where it says that. Do not appear before the Lord empty-handed. And by the way, he says, you're going to have to be gone from work and home for like a month of a year, because some of these feasts were 8 days long, and they had to travel there. But he says in the book of Exodus, I will promise you, nobody's going to bother your stuff while you're gone. I'll look after it for you. And you'll be there and you'll be faithful, bringing your tithe. This is an amazing thing. So the tithe, by definition from Scripture, is the place from which the pastors are paid. So we don't all go to the general conference with our tithe. For the convenience of the people, we turn our tithe in at our local church as part of our worship experience. But the treasures all send it on to the storehouse. By definition, in our church, the storehouse is the conference office from which the pastors are paid. Now, there's lots of really, really interesting work going on in the world today. And I could give you anecdotally a couple of experiences. Maybe I should just share one with you. you.
Okay.
Most of you know that the Quiet Hour is a ministry, an independent ministry of the Adventist Church, a supporting ministry, I would
yes.
say, one that I've worked with before.
Exactly.
And they have just, I think, christened their maybe 43rd or something, maybe it's a higher number than that even, airplane that they've helped to raise the money to send overseas. And it's one of those new Kodiak from Quest in Spokane, Washington area. And a real interesting thing is, I actually was able with our family to go to the highlands of New Guinea a number of years ago to help build a church and an evangelistic training center there with our kids. It was a wonderful experience for our whole family. But I will just tell you, the pilot told me of the airplane there. There are most of our churches that are only accessible either by long treks to the jungle, or if they've made a little jungle airstrip, we can get there in there by airplane. Well, where do you get the airplanes? And they said, well, the Quiet Hour provided these beautiful Cessna 206 stationary airplanes for us. And so my big question, should I go back and start sending my tithe to the Quiet Hour? Well, the bottom line is no. But could I include them in my offerings?
Absolutely.
Definitely yes. And that's the whole point. I think about any ministry. And we have, Testimonies for the Church, Volume 9, talked about page 245 and following, Faithful Stewardship. And it says, should we support these other ministries? The answer is yes, but not from the tithe. Those are the exact words.
I have letters from time to time asking me to send the money, and I check out.
Yeah.
Because I find that some of them are willing to take the tithe.
Yes.
And those people I send nothing. And others. Now, before we run out of time, and I think we have plenty of time, to ask a question that many people ask. Even the believers, or certainly the people that are hearing about tithe for the first time, you mentioned it's the definition is pretty well accepted. It's one-tenth of your income.
Yes.
What income? Base pay? Net pay? What do I pay my tithe on?
Okay.
Or after I paid everything else at home, and my rent is paid, and I bought the groceries, I have $100 left here, so I owe $10 tithe. Tell the viewers how they should pay tithe according to Scripture.
It's a very good question. It's a common question. And my answer is, the Bible says if we're faithful with tithe, that God will bless us. And so I heard Larry Brickett give the answer like this one time. Do you want a gross blessing or a net blessing?
I like it.
But the whole point is we do have Bible verses for it. And Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first part of all your increase. So you put God first. It's first there. So I would say first before the government, before taxes and so on. So gross or net? About 60% of Adventist people, the best we can tell, tithe on the gross amount. That is what the top line of their check would be, not what the actual check is.
Before or after tax?
Before tax, because that's putting God before the government. Now, the real interesting thing is, if you work as a salaried person or by the hour, that's your check amount. But if you're in business for yourself as a physician or as a merchant or whatever, you couldn't do that, a tithe of all of your income.
No, it's gained.
Because you have overhead expenses. You have office staff and you have, medical supplies and all of those kinds of things. But your net profit, then you put God first of that. That's what, and I will just tell you a little simple way that I talk to people. Most people who are in business for themselves, they take out a certain amount each month for living expenses. And let's just say it's $4,000 a month. And so at the end of the year, you've taken out $48,000. Well, you would tithe that. But if you actually find that you've made $100,000 in profit that year, then there would be $52,000 that you hadn't tithed yet. So you'd have a business tithe, from the $52,000.
Okay, now how about if I have a stock market, and I bought $1,000 or $10,000 to make it easy.
Yeah.
And it doubled. So it went from $10,000 and I sold it for $20,000. How much tithe do I owe?
Well, I would think that you would pay on the gain amount. And I would also tell you that you do not make any money on the stock market until you liquidate your asset.
Right.
Otherwise, it could go up and down and up and down. So there might be a loss. But if you make a gain, Kathy and I are selling our house right now. So I'll just give you this illustration. People say, well, the government will allow you to roll over your profit into your next house. Right. But also, you don't have to pay taxes on it for if it's been your primary residence, you know, for the past 3 years or whatever. But the point is, should we tithe our profit then? And I tell people, well, I've done that. And I'm going to tell you what I would do. I would say, well, here's what I paid for it. Here's the improvements I made. Here's what it cost me to sell it, you know, the realtor's fees and all that. And what my net profit is, that's what I would tithe.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, the real bottom line is some people say, well, should I tithe this or should I tithe that? I say, God is love. God is just, God is fair, but God is also honest. And if I get him more than he needs, he'll get it back to me some way.
Exactly.
That's what I believe.
I'm convinced of that. My wife and also my dad used to be treasurer of the church.
Yeah.
And from time to time, I would see a check written for tithe. It had tithe on it.
Yeah.
And it would be for $13.72. Now, I suspect that was an honest tithe.
Yes.
I mean, but I would always say to myself, well, what is the problem here? Why didn't they make it out for $14?
Yes.
I mean, they're trying to, okay, that's what we got to do. So it comes out to $13.72. It tells me that their attitude is a little wrong compared to God loveth a cheerful giver.
Well, yeah, I think that might be true, but it could also be true they're wanting to be exactly fair, you know, to God.
Sure.
And so if this part belongs to God, I'm going to give him every cent that's due him. You know, that they may say that as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. But this is an interesting topic, isn't it, really?
It is.
And there's much, much more that we could say. But I would just say that as long as we're faithful to God, he will bless us. He's promised to do that. And that if we recognize that it belongs to him, then as opposed to offerings, which are discretionary, if I wanted to help the poor in Grants Pass with my offerings, I could do that. If I wanted to help pave the parking lot in the church here or buy choir robes, I could do that. If I wanted to send it for missions, I could do that. But the tithe is unique, and that is, it is non-discretionary to me. I return it to the storehouse from which the pastors are paid, and that is the end of the story.
Right, okay.
Oh, one more thing. Can I add one more thing?
Sure,
do we have time?
Sure.
Some people say, but, you know, there's so many problems in the church today. What should we do about all the problems? And I'll say, Jesus knew about that one, too. And the only offering Jesus ever commended was when a widow lady, a poor lady, gave her last 2 cents to the church that was just about to kill him. Talk about corrupt. But he honored her and said, her name will be held up forever.
That's right. Ed, I'm happy you've been here. Would you have a word of prayer for us?
Oh, sure. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity of being in partnership with you and being honest with you. We recognize that you've allowed us to handle some things that are holy, like the Sabbath time and like our tithe. And we pray that you'll help us to be good stewards of these things. We thank you for your blessing in our lives, and may we be faithful to you in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.